Folks, we're going to spend some time really working through one verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If over the course of the last few weeks and months with the vision document, if you'd looked on what was on the outside, not just the goals on the inside, but the front cover where it says our vision, the last line of it says, all for Christ and His glory. And underneath it has Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As Christians, that is a great summary of who we are, a summary of how we live, and a summary of why we live like we do. And our vision starts by saying, we believe. What do we believe? We believe God is calling together disciples for himself through the gospel of Christ. So in Galatians where it says, faith, I live by faith in the Son of God. Right, when we accept the gospel of Christ, we put our faith in the Son of God. So we believe God's calling together disciples for himself through the gospel of Christ. And because of that, we're prayerfully planning to mature people, to grow people as faithful followers of Jesus through the Word of God, through His Word, the Bible. That's at the heart of what we do. And As I said yesterday, I am so thankful that as I read your responses to the questionnaire and your feedback from your various groups and the discussions we had, that front and center of the strengths and the things that people value is the Bible teaching, and that things are centered on the Bible. And please, can I urge you, implore you in the strongest possible terms to keep myself and Toby and Jim and Josh and other leaders accountable to that. Don't let us ever lose that. Of all things that we let go, don't let us lose hold of teaching the scriptures. Because that is, one, how God calls us to himself, and two, how he grows us. And so when Galatians says, this life I live, I now live in the flesh. This life I live to Christ, to grow in him. And what do we hope to see? The result is that we'll be multiplying disciple-making disciples, people who are concerned to make more disciples, to see more people coming to the kingdom and see more people running, trusting Christ and living for him. That they will be living this life. Doing what? Pursuing maturity in Christ. Personally and in the lives of others. That they'll be serving, that we'll be serving one another in love. Right? Helping each other to live this new life in Christ. And that together we'll be active in outreach to our community, not just our community, but beyond. Because it's not just the people around us that need to know Christ, but it's the people around the entire world that need to know Christ. So in part of our maturing is ascending thing. And part of our maturing is praying for those who are in different parts of the world proclaiming Christ. And what drives it all? It is all for Christ and His glory. All for Christ and His glory. And so we've talked and raised a couple of changes that we're going to make going into next year with Good News Week and Tiny Toms and Mops. Why? For Christ and His glory. Back to Galatians 2:20. It says who we are. As Christians, we are people who live new lives. I have been crucified with Christ. Me, my old self, you, your old self, has been put to death. Which means, yes, I remember the life I used to live. But I no longer have an ongoing relationship with that life. Because I used to follow various idols and I've turned from them. I've turned around and now who do I serve? The living and true God. So it's a change of life. As Christians, we are by faith united with Christ in His sin-bearing death. That sinful past, that life of chasing idols has been blotted out. Now I identify myself with Christ. By faith I have a new life, a life for God, a life that's not centered on me, but a life that's centered on Him, on Christ. A new life that's motivated and driven and rising from the sacrificial love of God in Christ Jesus, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is who we are as Christians. We are people crucified with Christ. And so the gospel we preach, the gospel through which God calls together disciples for Himself, is that Jesus died for me, and by faith I have new life in Him. So how do we live as new people in Christ? Friends, the only way we can live for God is by faith. By faith we participate in the death of Christ. That is, we crucify the old life. We put it to death, that life of chasing idols. And by faith we participate in the resurrection life of Christ living in me, of living for Christ in all things. That's how we're to live for God. Live to God. Now, large numbers of people the world over make the mistake of trying to commend themselves to God. They try and commend themselves to God by their own works, by their good life, by being nice people. They think it's noble to try and win their way to God, to try and impress God with their good life, their good deeds. But it's not noble. It's ignoble. Is that how you say it? It's dreadfully ignorant, dreadfully dismissive, arrogant in utmost. It dismisses God. It dismisses His Christ. It dismisses the cross. Because as we think in our good deeds, our good works, our good life, we can attain our way to heaven, we're dismissing the nature of God. It's denying who God is. And it's denying the mission of Christ. It says, God, no, you can't be gracious. You can't be just. You can't be righteous. It reveals the height of sinfulness. We've got a problem, and guess who's going to solve it? I will solve the problem of my need myself. The thing they've got right is that we do have a need. That we do need to be with God. But the way there is through justification. It is through the cross of Christ. It is only through faith in Christ that we can be justified, made right with God. And so to not trust in the Lord Jesus is an insult to the grace of God and to the cross of Christ, because it says, I can do it myself. I don't need either of them. I don't need your grace, God. I don't need the sacrificial death of your Son. However, as Galatians 2 says, to trust Jesus is to become united with him, and to become united with him is we begin a new life with him. See, when the fire of God's wrath burns through, when judgment comes upon this earth, the only safe place, as we heard yesterday, is to cover yourself in the ashes of the cross. To cover yourself in the place where God's wrath has already been. And that is on the Lord Jesus at the cross. He bore the wrath of God for us. That is the only safe place. That is the place of new life and new growth. And if you've ever been to the Australian bush after the fire has ripped through, go there a week later and you see the green starting to pop forth and growing through where it's been burnt out. It rises and grows to new life. That is the Christian life. This new life we live as Christians, we live it two ways. We live it, or two things going on together. We live it together socially. We live it together spiritually. So we live the life, the Christian life together socially, because the Christian faith is not an individual faith. It's not a private, personal matter. Because when we're saved, which is personal, our salvation is personal because it's between us and God. However, when we're saved to be part of a people. God gathers us in Christ to be part of his people, united with all believers in Christ. And if we pursue an individualism that says, my faith is personal, it's about me and God, it's about what I do and things with God, then we will see cracks appear in the body of Christ. We'll see cracks in the church. If we pursue individualism, particularly at times like this, where we review what we do and how we do it and we're making changes, if we pursue individualism, we will get disgruntled. We will complain. Because my idea hasn't been taken up. Or because, and this is the classic that I've been hearing in churches for 20 years, my needs are not being met. And I'm sorry if you feel like your needs are not being met. I have my moments where I feel like that too. But to take that idea to its end point, that we all come and gather together and we all come so that our needs will be met, if that's why we gather to have our needs met, who's going to meet those needs? Let's take it to the end point the other way. We've been saved by Christ. We come and we gather together as his people in his place. His call upon us is to love and serve one another. So we all come and gather together and we all come looking to meet others' needs. What is going to happen to your needs if we all, including you, come to meet other people's needs? Are your needs going to be met? They're going to be met, aren't they? See, his call upon us is to love and serve one another, to serve one another in love. And why? Because in all that we do, we live for Christ and his glory. Right? All for Christ and his glory, not all for my needs and satisfaction. But as we live all for Christ and his glory, my needs and my satisfaction will take care of itself. As I mentioned yesterday, in the responses to that questionnaire, and people talked about things that help them feel connected, gathering around the Bible, gathering together in Bible study, personal relationships, meals together, doing ministry together. What is all of that? Serving one another around the Word of God. That's what grows us. That's what binds us. That's what grabs us together. So this new life we live as Christians, we live together spiritually. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So socially, but spiritually. And see, this spiritually, the Christ, it's Christ who lives in us. That is our point of unity. That is our point of connection. That is our point of togetherness. That is our point where we're able to say, you know what, that decision, I don't really like it. It's not what I would do. But you know what? We are in it together, and we're doing it for Christ and His glory, and I'm going to give it my all. In about a week and a half's time, my girls are going to want to go to Erin Affair. And they're going to want to spend about 48 hours non-stop there. My idea of shopping is, I need to buy X. I walk in, buy X, and I go home. The best decision for my family is not my thing, but it's doing it together. I need to give it my all, don't I? It's far better for our family if I go and make the most of it. All for Christ and His glory. That's the driver for our decision making. That's the driver for our life. This life we live by faith in the Son of God. And in this, that faith in the Son of God, we share a profound unity. We live this life pursuing maturity in Christ. And as we mature in Christ, do you know what? We find our true self being renewed and drawn out as we involve ourselves in serving and loving one another. Our true self comes out. To get myself into even more trouble on this shopping thing. My true self is not a man who hates aimless shopping. My true self is a man who is to love, who does love his wife and his children. A man who loves and longs to serve and please them. Who loves and longs to see the joy and delight on their faces more than having my way. So why do we live this life? Because Christ is living in me. It's a work of the Holy Spirit uniting us with Christ. And why do I live this life? Well, it's the work of me walking in step with the Spirit. Two things together there. The work of the Spirit uniting us with Christ. And the work of me walking in step with the Spirit. I'm no longer that egocentric person living in obedience to all my selfish passions and desires. For at the centre of my life is now Christ. Now I seek to live in obedience to Him, Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Our salvation, our new life, it is an intensely personal work of God. Christ gave Himself for me, for you. And He lives in you, He lives in me by His Spirit. And so we live this life to Him, for Him, as His chosen and called child. And it saved a clip over the year because they're not here. Why does Kevin Dentler, for those of you who know Kevin Dentler, why does he, at his magnificent age, he's the second oldest person connected with this congregation, why does he get out and sweep the porches of his neighbours down at the ARV village? Because the love of Jesus is at work in him. There's a man down at that village now who's reading his Bible, who has not done it before, has not done it for longer than most of us have been alive because Kevin encouraged him to pick up his Bible and read it again. I was nearly in tears on Sunday morning last week when people were praying and Molly sat there praying. And some of you will know Molly, she's been coming for the last, since Easter. Good Friday, she came to church. Years and years since she'd been to church. 32 years since she came to church. I think we can say that she's part of the kingdom of God because Kevin and Audrey moved into that place and have loved her and invited her along and brought her along. And she sat there last Sunday and prayed and gave thanks to Kevin and Audrey. What keeps driving those two legends on? Christ gave himself for them. Christ lives in them. And while they live in this body, they live it for him. But how I long to be like them. Still loving the Lord Jesus. Still longing to see people turn from idols to serve the living and true God. Still full of confidence in the power of God and the power of the gospel to change lives of sinners. Anne had her Wednesday ladies stop and pray for me on Wednesday. As many of you know, I've had very little voice and very little capacity to speak for the last few weeks. And Anne got the study to stop and pray for me. And as Audrey prayed, her love for me brought tears to my eyes. The love of Christ in her. Michelle here has been chasing one of the girls from youth group this year to try and pick her up to take her to school so they could read the Bible and pray together. Because that was the only possible time that they might be able to meet up and read the Bible and pray together. It's been a bit difficult, but she's kept at it. And Morgan and Rachel Cox aren't here today. Unassuming heroes. Every time they're here at church, they write on the response card, "Please pray for Rhiannon, Morgan's sister, that she might come to know Christ." Chris Wren. Every night at the moment, he's there with his 94-year-old mother-in-law. Reading the scriptures with her at the bedside. The scripture team, 9 wonders of the world. I'll make it 10, Val, because you're teaching at Hobartville only. Yeah. Hardly a day of teacher training among them. Week after week, proclaiming Christ to the children in this area. Jess Gordon, sharing 2 ways to live with a lady at her work. 12 months she had the 2 ways to live tracked in a bag, having words in her head ringing that you need to share this with someone. And when they do and they take it and read it, they'll get stuck on one of those 6 boxes and that's the point to talk to them about. And if you know Jess, she's one of the gentlest and shyest and most reserved people we've got around here, but she's spoken to the lady at her work and she's continuing to engage in that conversation. And God in his goodness has been very kind to Jess. And the lady's been really receptive and has been keen to talk. And Jess is continuing to follow her up and care for her. The Gardener's Bible Study. All know where Link's Place is and pray for Link's Place regularly. Because Damo just keeps going. We've got to keep, that's our adopter street. Let's keep praying for it. Let's keep praying for it. You've been doing that lately, brother? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Val and Baz. Lucky to know what a computer was 10 years ago. But they learn how to work it. And they get down here week in, week out to labor and strive for us. To do a whole lot of quiet little things behind the scenes. Look up and the other week she had Pete Van Dam out here cleaning the gutters for us because she saw the leaves hanging over the top. Now, we've got a brother in jail down in Goulburn. There's about 20 people on a roster who are going down once a fortnight to go and visit him and disciple him and encourage him and minister to him. We've got a lady who comes in each week and cleans the ministry centre and does some other tidying bits and pieces. There's countless hours that go on behind the scenes with people like Dan and Steve, and there's a whole lot of people beavering around who have missed most of the sessions this weekend because they've been labouring for us to make things run smoothly for us. Megan is at our place of a Sunday afternoon each week. She's, safe to say, names aren't your strong point, Megan. Yet regularly of a late Sunday afternoon, not so much now, but certainly the front half of the year, she's there quizzing Sam and I, who's this person, what's their name, how do they fit together, trying to get to know who you guys are so that she can better serve you. Les, our patron saint of lost causes. John Z, where are you? He came and did Christianity Explained with me in second term, and the first night, we're all there, and we'd gone through the first night of Christianity Explained, and everyone else who'd come got up and left, and Dave is still sitting there. I've gone, oh no, what's going on? Okay, sit down. What's going on, mate? Well, let's pray. Let's pray for these guys. That was unreal, and we had the best conversation for the next hour. He was there coming to do Christianity Explained to learn and grow himself, and his heart was, let's pray for these people here who don't know the Lord Jesus. Do you want me to keep going? I can go on. Sometimes, God's power, I want you to not say anything more in the middle of a sermon and a service. You know what? 9 times out of 10, you're cheering the right places. And when I'm proclaiming the gospel, you're jumping up and down for joy. Go and preach it, brother. I think I once called him mad, and I got attacked for ages, Robert, for that. But there's an enthusiasm and a passion for the gospel that just oozes out. Folks, I can keep going. You may not feel like heroes. You may not feel like you're doing much, but you are playing your part. You may feel like my contribution isn't as good or as significant as the next person. Anyone seen this rabble up there on the lounges and the beanbags? Sammy Hinkley and Rosie Porter liturgically dancing to all the songs and their movements. That's awesome seeing you guys having a great time. Hands up if you've been encouraged seeing these guys up the back hanging on the lounges. It's been awesome seeing you guys hang out and have a good time as part of us. Because you are part of us. Friends, God's called us together with one another in this place. Together as part of His people. And together we live for Christ and His glory. Can we do it better? This side of heaven, of course we can. And so we keep striving to mature personally and serving one another in love that others might mature. We keep praying that God would transform us, me, myself, and us together. Transforming the lives of those around us. This is life lived for Christ and His glory. Why do we live this life? Because the Son of God loved me. He loved you. And He gave Himself for you and for me. And as new people in Him, we live for Him. We live for His glory, knowing that His power is at work in us. I need to finish this time with a request. A request of you as people who know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. My request is that you would finish the work that you started, the work that you started last Sunday, that you would finish that work, that your readiness might be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Last weekend, God put it in your hearts and my heart to generously pledge over $45,000 towards employing Josh in 2015. Over $45,000 was pledged last week towards employing Josh next year. On Friday, I had a chat with Josh. So we had a few chats this week. On Friday, I offered, and Josh accepted the offer to continue working with us next year. How good's that? So we can't get him full time next year. He's currently finishing off a diploma. There's four or five more subjects that he can do at YouthWorks, and that'll be the sum total of everything he can do at YouthWorks. I'll give him a couple of advanced diplomas. So he's going to continue with that next year. So it means that we will employ Josh for 4 days a week next year. He's doing two and a half at the moment. Next year he's agreed to work with us 4 days a week, which is just awesome. So he's going to complete some additional study. So Josh is going to take oversight of our children's and youth ministry. So we're not putting him on to be a workhorse. So we're not sending him out to run JATS and SPY and youth and teach 15, 16, 17 scripture classes a week. Probably in many senses, the on the ground doing things won't change much from this year, but he'll pick up the oversight, the meeting with leaders and caring for them and training them and doing that side of things. And with that, Toby's then going to be freed to lead us as we seek to outreach together into Jordan Springs. It's really exciting times. So thank you for your generosity. And as Paul said to the Corinthians, to follow through. And I want to encourage you to follow through with the pledge that you've made. Now let's keep going. Let's make this a reality. What Sam and I pledge to give over and above, it's actually money that we already have. So as we speak, that extra pledge is being taken out of our bank account today. Now, if you're in a position to start doing that now, I encourage you to start giving now, that over and above money. That might help us hold our position where we are financially and help build that platform going forward next year and beyond. Many of you know Josh's dad, and most of us know Josh, and we know that they've both got this genetic hyperactive disorder, which endears both of them to us, and which we love. I'm going to get Toby out, who doesn't quite have that same hyperactive disorder, but as George reminded us yesterday, the disciples just get on doing their work quietly, and you often don't see a lot of what's going on. Toby, I'm going to ask you in a sec to tell us where you're at and what you've been thinking about with Jordan Springs. We had a staff conference when I got back from long service leave, and we went for lunch down at Jordan Springs and started to walk around the lake, and as a senior minister, I thought I'll just start seeding thoughts about planting down here and sharing my information and what I know about Jordan Springs. And so I pontificated a little as we walked. Toby added a comment, and I went, oh, who's been thinking? I pontificated a little bit more, and he had a few more comments, and I thought, better start shutting up soon. So I started to bite my tongue, and then the next afternoon we sat down to talk about what would it look like? What do we need to do? And God, in his mercy, gave me wisdom to shut up and just ask questions, and I kept asking questions, and he kept... And I walked away going, have you ever seen an F1 race or a car race? And they're all sitting on the grid and the engines are sort of humming away and they're waiting for the red lights to drop off. That's what it looked like. Toby's got, he's got shape in his head about what needs to happen. He just needs me to say go and start doing it. So in a second I'm going to ask you to tell us about that. Mate, you've been here with us for 9 months. I did that lovely thing of saying, mate, welcome, you're here. We've got this massive event that happens in Easter. You don't know anybody. We're making a few changes to it this year. We're tweaking some things. Can you pick that up and run with it and work it out? I dumped you in that. 9 months, you've been here. What have been some of the highlights for you this year?
Some of the highlights have been just getting to know you guys, getting to just understand how you're going as a church and meeting you as individuals. And that's been a real privilege, getting to understand where you're at, getting to see what God has done already in you and what he's doing now as you involved in loving one another and doing ministry and all the things that are going on. That's been really exciting. It's been really exciting to jump in and get my hands dirty in things like Good News Week, into doing scripture and teaching, taught primary scripture at Castle Ray for the first half of the year. I've been down at the high school leading a small group at lunchtime, it's one of my favorite things I do of the week. There's a small group, kind of 8 or 10 kids, most of them from the learning support stream. But it's a real privilege. They're there, keen to hear the message of Jesus every week. And that's been really exciting. It's been exciting to be back at youth group. I haven't been at youth group for a while before this, to see these young guys, and they're here every week excited to be together and to be growing in their understanding of Jesus and what that means to live as a Christian, to see them inviting friends along, to see them coming and growing. So those things have been really exciting. It's been great to be part of Night Church, kind of the smaller congregation here in the evening, getting to meet and involve in those people, getting to preach to them, getting to think about how we move forward as a congregation, how we build and how we grow, having lots of conversations with people about where they see it going. So heaps of exciting things been involved in.
Yep. With God's blessing, we're going to change things around a little bit for you next year, and probably some discussions we need to work out about what it looks like for your involvement with youth and with the lunchtime group at the high school and the like next year. But mate, now that we're sort of flicking a green light to think about Jordan Springs, I'm going to sit down and stop making noise. Can you share with us what you're thinking, where things are at, how do we go forward?
Sure. Yeah, well, it's great to be able to think about Jordan Springs in a kind of concrete way now. I've been thinking, we were reminded yesterday, looking at 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to them and encourages those Christians, reminds them that they are waiting for Jesus. Jesus to return, Jesus who rescues them from the coming wrath. That's the reality that we know and we believe as Christians, that there is an end date that God has planned, and there is an end date when he will call all things to account. He will bring judgment. It can be a scary reality, but it's also an encouraging reality for us who trust in Jesus. But it's scary looking out into our neighbourhood and seeing people around who need to know about that. We need to know that Jesus is the place where they can put their trust. And particularly thinking about Jordan Springs, this new suburb where there's no church. There's, as far as I can see, there's no one who's doing particular Christian ministry there amongst those people. There's a great opportunity we have to take that message of the gospel, to share that hope that we have in Jesus, to point people to the cross and what he's done. And so that's what drives us as a church to look at that and look at that opportunity and see what can we do there. How can we go about taking the good news of Jesus to them? And so with that in mind, with that driving us, I've put together kind of three steps in a concrete plan of how we're going to go forward with Jordan Springs. Now, first step, we're going to gather together people who switched onto this vision, who are committed to taking the gospel to the people of Jordan Springs. We want to gather together people from us, maybe even some people who are already there, Christians who have moved into the area, but who aren't gathering with us yet, but who are keen to reach Jordan Springs. We want to get them together. We don't want to get people who are just kind of keen for a change and want to kind of see something different in church, or people who are just kind of excited and want to come along with me. We want people who are committed to seeing Jordan Springs one for Christ. We'll gather them together. That's the stage now. Then, the next step, so we want to start meeting together with those people. We want to start looking towards what we're going to do, planning, training, equipping ourselves as we go forward towards that, even starting to reach out in different ways to that community. And above all, as we look forward, we want to be praying for that, committing it all to God, everything we do. As we do that over the next while, as we gather our team and meet together and build up our skills and put in concrete plans to how we're going to go forward. And then, after all, we've got that happening. The goal is that we would start meeting down there as a separate congregation. That at times here we would send that core group out to be our fourth congregation, along with Castle Ray, Morning Church, Evening Church, Jordan Springs congregation. That would be in Jordan Springs for reaching the people of Jordan Springs. We'd love to see that happen, and we've got a kind of tentative date looking at October 2015, next year. So about 1 year from now, we hope to launch that in fully fledged mode, going into that service. So that's what we hope to see. That's our kind of structure for now. If you have questions about it, if you're excited about it, you want to talk to me about it, I'd love to talk to you further. So please come and grab me.
Friends, I hope you're excited. I've been looking forward to this morning for a long time, and it's been so exciting to get up and share God's word and share these plans and with you and to pray together about what's going on.